welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Love Talk Radio.
You know, we get caught up a lot of times in prophecy, and we don't. We look in the National Enquirer, the Star magazine, and we're all excited about all these different predictions for the future and different things. And I don't think that you know, there's nothing wrong with looking forward. There's nothing wrong though with making a plan, as long as God's in the front of the plan. And just been looking and studying and going over some different research and different things. And it's really kind of amazing when you stop and look at this Bible. Now, what is this Bible? Well, for the Christian, it's the inspired, inerrant word of the living God. For the Christian, it's a part of Jesus, because John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So there's a lot of important stuff that is packed right in here. And this thing about Jesus coming into the world, it's one thing to come in and say, "Oh, that's that Messiah we were talking about. That was, you know, we knew he was coming and he was going to save the day." But the way Jesus went out of this world on that cross, right, only to come back in, but at the initial time, it didn't look like Jesus was winning. Amen. Sometimes as Christians, it won't look like you and me are winning, right? So we'll go through and kind of pick out a few things. But in the beginning, there was sin there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And what happens at that point is God says, "I'm going to put an enemy or an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy," or his, "heel." Okay? So what do we got going on here is through the seed of a woman, God is going to cure the sin problem of all time. He talks about it in the first, right there in the first of the Bible, in the third chapter. He's talking about a day and time which is going to come when someone will come to this earth, or it doesn't even talk about coming to the earth. I mean, I guess he'd be born, and his principal job would be to seek and save those that were lost. So we fulfill that, or it's recorded in Genesis or Galatians 4:4 when it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, when the time that God had allotted came for God to come on the scene, okay, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law." You got it? Yeah, you understand where we're going with that? So God talked about it. He said, "I'm put in between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." So we're talking about, how's the Messiah going to come? So, well, everybody came by the seed, or everybody came by the birth, okay? Not exactly the way Jesus came. They don't come like Jesus came every day. But let's go a little further. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And then there shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Well, here's old Abraham being called out of the land of Ur. Abraham doesn't have much going for him, but he's got something that most of us need way more of today, and that is faith. We get over here and find out about the seed of Abraham in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, when they start through the genealogy. And it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So right through the line of Abraham, from the time he's taken out of Ur all the way through to the line of David, God pins this down, and it's never been disproved. If you can find a place where Jesus is not in this bloodline, then God has broken a promise, and God cannot break a promise. God would be telling, you know, all the nations can only be blessed one way. And what way is that? For all of them to come to the self, or the believing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has died for your sins. Does it make sense to you? I hope so. Because that's the way this thing is going to work out. It's the way God has it planned out. So, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, through the line of David, promises are made. Through the son of Abraham, as promises are made to Abraham. So we've got a couple things that we've seen right there. Now, what kind of separation are we talking about from the birth of Jesus back to the time that this is written? You're probably talking about 4,000 years, 3,500 years to, you know, 4,000 years before human, you know, I mean, before Jesus walked on the earth, because it's been 2,000 years since then. So we go through Genesis, five more chapters, over to Genesis chapter 17, and we hear that God said unto Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him from the everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, up in on these first couple of promises that God has made, that's about the normal course of life. A baby's born into this world by a mother. God has empowered people from the beginning of time, so one of the first ones he ever empowers is Abraham to do the work that he wants done. But now we get into something a little different when we get to Genesis chapter 17, and it draws a laugh from Sarah, because Sarah is beyond childbearing years, okay? Abraham has been promised that his heirs will be as the sand of the sea. He's been promised that throughout the whole world that he's going to be a blessing and a father of many nations, right? So all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord says, hey, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac, and Sarah laughed. I tell you, there's something you better be careful on, and that's when you laugh and mock God. There's a lot of that going on nowadays. There's a lot of silly, crazy going on out there. And, man, God's just watching every bit of it. It's a scary thing. Had a great lesson in Sunday school yesterday. Let me just digress a little bit. It said God hated, and it took on a perspective that in all my Christian years I had never thought of. And it deals with the foreknowledge of this. God, from the foundation of the world, knew what we were going to be. He knew what we were going to be. He knew what we were going to be. He knew what we were going to be. Now, let's talk about Isaac. We know that Abraham ends up with a son by the name of Isaac. We know Isaac is the chosen heir, and we hear about it fulfilled in Luke chapter 3, verse 34, when it reads, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor. You got that? So, once again, we've got a book. We've got two parts of a book. We've got an Old Testament. We've got a New Testament. What do we have to have a testament? We have to have a testator, right? We could get into that on another day. So, let's move along a little bit. In Numbers 24:17, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, talking about what's coming out of the seed of Jacob, Matthew chapter 1, verse 12, talks about the line again. It says, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, which they encompassed the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, let's skip way out here into Genesis 49. We're about to finish with the book of Genesis, and it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So what are we doing here? Out of the tribe of Judah, where's Jesus? If you trace Joseph and Mary's birth lineage, you can come back all the way there through King David, right, and all the way back through to this tribe here, the tribe of Judah, which is talked about. So Luke chapter 3, verse 33, he says, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Ram, which was the son of Hezron, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. So what do we have here? we have it completely laid out for you and me today, and nobody's ever disputed it. If you could prove it wrong, see, God spans the little bit of time, the vapor of a life that we know. God spans the Alpha and the Omega, and it's really, I mean, you know that if you've been in church much, but you really can't even understand the concept of when God says in that Bible he hates something or someone, he's got every right to hate them, because as he's writing this, he knows exactly what they are out there on the other end of their lives. That should scare the absolute life out of every one of us this morning, right? Now let's go a little further, because we won't get very far. Because let's talk about, we could talk about heir to the throne of David. We could talk about being anointed and eternal, which is pretty powerful stuff. To be eternal, I want to worship a God that is eternal. Why do we want that? Well, we want to worship an eternal God for eternal reasons, right? But we're not worshiping somebody that came up with some brand new plan, and it happens all the time that these false religions and false prophets and people of the devil come up with their own religions and their own plans and on and on, and it's just pure crazy. Now, let's go to Micah 5:2 and let's see a prophecy here mentioned. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting." Now, what in the world? From Bethlehem, a place not very notable, there is going to be someone come out of there to be born in Bethlehem, and his power is going to be such that it always has been and it always will be. So it's from old, from everlasting. So it's a never-ending power that God Almighty has and has bestowed upon the Son and the Holy Spirit. They will not end. We can fulfill this or see it fulfilled when Jesus is born in Luke chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 7. Right? So he went up with Mary to be taxed. In order to be taxed, they have to go back to their hometown. Where's the hometown? It's in a place called Bethlehem. That's how accurate God's plan is for your life today. God had these people, right? They went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. See, why'd they go there? Because he was of the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Listen, the world did not make Jesus welcome. Came unto his own received him not, and it's going to get worse from there. But let's skip over, or I guess from Micah, we're probably going to go back a little bit. So look at what we have in chapter 9, verse 25 in the book of Daniel. It says, "Know therefore and understand." Boy, I tell you what, you can know something, not understand it or apply it to your life. But Daniel says, "Know something and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." Talking about, hey, it's going to be rough times. There's going to be a lot of chaos. There's going to be a lot of aggravation, and Jesus is going to be born right in the middle of it in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And there's where your income tax started, right? Now, let's look at Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We know a little bit about how this gets fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, through about 31 there. Now, listen, a child, not just any child, a child born of a virgin. Once again, we've already seen the supernatural power of God there when he did what he did for Sarah and Abel that she could conceive. So if God can create life by speaking it, or allowing it to be, or as destiny or as foreknowledge creates life, how can man destroy what God has created? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And you say, well, this was born of a prostitute, or this one was born of a poor, poverty-stricken. Listen, Jesus is born in a manger. There's no room for him in the inn. There's no room. Can you grasp it for just a little bit? Man, oh man, think about it. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:15. Some things I just can't really understand in the Bible. I see pure evil and I say, why does God allow it? Or why doesn't God stop it? Because he could stop these things. You know, I mean, I know he can. But there must be something about the free will of humanity. There has to be something about the way life plays out. I don't know, but it talks about in Jeremiah 31:15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they were not. Herod the king is upset, okay, because he's mocked by the wise men over in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. So what does he do? He's hotter than a $2 pistol. He gets mad, and he sends his people to Bethlehem to kill all the little boys down there under a certain age. I think it was 2 and under, if I recall right. Message comes to Joseph in his sleep, and it says that in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that Israel was a child when I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, how in the world is a Jewish child, savior of the universe, born unto his own received and not, going to come out of a place, right? How's he going to come out of a place, you see, like Egypt? Well, here's why. Because of the flight into Egypt due to the slaughter of the innocent children. You see, Jesus had a mission. The mission was to draw people to him. The mission was to seek and save those who were lost. The mission was to leave disciples and apostles behind who would be able to do the things necessary in order to see people get saved. Amen. And that's kind of where we're at in this today. I could go on through all this and we could just march on all day long. But we're not only talking about the birth of a Messiah. I'm going to give you just a couple more to think on this morning. We're talking about in Isaiah 53:9 when it reads, "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Well, the sinless Lamb of God fulfilled all the things Isaiah wrote about. And how in the world does a man without a home, without a job, without prestige, without money in the bank, how does he ever in a million years end up buried in a rich man's tomb? But we know where he ends up. Joseph of Arimathea, correct? So he's buried with the rich. Well, what happens is when it's over and it's all said and done, let me tell you what people are going to want. They're going to wish that they were buried with Jesus, or Jesus was buried with them. You see? But it's too late. Now, let's talk about being resurrected there in Psalm 16:10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. What are we going to do here? God lays down his life. Jesus Christ says, it is finished. They place him in the borrowed rich man's tomb. Over the weekend, he conquers hell. He conquers death. And he brings back the keys to hell. Whew. Isn't that something? Jesus is in control of these things. He always has been. God foreknows. He knows exactly what we're going to do. He knows what we want to do in our hearts. Man, oh man. Now in Psalm 68:18, it talks about his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Let me read it for you. It says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among thee. And then where is it fulfilled? It says, Mark 16:19, it says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture. We can look that up in 1 Corinthians 15:4. Ephesians has a verse for us where it reads, wherefore he said, when he hath ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What kind of gift did Jesus give you today? An eternal life, an opportunity to see him in a place called heaven and be there with him forever and ever one day. You know what the problem is with everything? God sure has a big plan. You know, God sure has a big plan. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.